Matthew chapter 12. The message today is spirits unclean and holy. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 22. I may bring to your attention other passages rather than read them. But here it says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the dumb man spake and saw. And the multitudes were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And then the Lord sets aside their objection. Now, look at verse 43. But the unclean spirit, when he is gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all of the physical senses that you imparted to us when you made us. We are thankful that for those senses that we do not possess, that was sent thy Son from heaven to tell us about these things, the invisible things around us and in us that we know not of, that we are unable to explain unless we listen to the words, the explanation of thy Son. We are thankful that as thou dost say, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are thankful that thy Son has come from heaven to tell us about you, that most holy God, most pure God, most pure spirit. And he has also come to tell us about unclean spirits. This morning, our Father, we pray that thy Holy Spirit shall be he who prevails in the audience that is here. Thou dost know the contest that is going on. We are unaware of it, but thou art aware of it, and thy Son has told us. We can see with our senses the things that happen outwardly. You alone know the internal struggles of the heart. So overcome and succeed by the prevailing of thy Holy Spirit, we beseech thee. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is what is so interesting, that you would think that the opposite of an unclean spirit would be a clean spirit, but the opposite is not an unclean spirit, but a holy spirit. Let me explain it. You'll see it by looking at various scriptures describing spirits and so forth. The Lord Jesus said that he's going to come in a future day with all his holy angels. Not his clean angels, but his holy angels. These that I've spoken of and read to you from Matthew chapter 12, they are not unholy. They are not described that way. They are described as unclean spirits. And it says the same in 1 Corinthians 7. In speaking about children of mixed marriages, it speaks about them being clean or unclean, but instead it says, else would your children be unclean, but now are they holy. You see, unclean and holy. So all the spirits that exist in this world are either unclean spirits or they are holy spirits. And that's what it says in 1925. It says, when he cometh with all his holy angels, and angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the heirs of salvation. So there are unclean spirits and there are holy spirits, and there is one holy spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But all of those unfallen angels are also called holy spirits. They are his holy messengers that do the things that would further the kingdom of God. But all of the unseen spirits are his enemies, and they do everything they can to deter the progress of the kingdom of God. Now, this is most embarrassing. I hate to tell you this, but the Lord Jesus believed in the spirit world. Go and ask all of the intelligent people around you if they believe in spirit, and they will laugh in your face. But alas, if you say Christ is my Savior, then the embarrassing thing is this. Then your Savior, that's supposed to know more than you do, and I assume that you take it for granted he knows more than you do if he's going to get you to heaven, save your soul. He's explaining all the mysteries incomprehensible to the mind of man. And is this Savior of yours so ignorant that he believes in spirits if they do not exist? You say, well, I would hardly think so. That is the embarrassment of all the modernists, all of those that would like to take parts of the Bible, but would like to reject other parts. Now, many parts of the Bible, they succeed in doing away with by saying, that's a parable that Christ is speaking. Well, isn't this remarkable that the Lord Jesus, when he is casting out spirits, as here, and as in Mark's Gospel, when this father has this demon-possessed son, he is talking to the spirits, and they are talking to him. Now, how shall you explain that if spirits do not exist? How is the Lord Jesus talking to them? You say he's talking to them because they do exist. And they are set forth plainly, as a matter of fact in the Bible, because they do exist. The Lord Jesus believes in the spirit world because there is a spirit world, because he has had confrontation with it, and the spirit world is that which would destroy him and deter his work that his Father sent him from heaven to accomplish. And so I'm sorry to embarrass you, but there is a spirit world as well as a physical world. And God has given me 5 senses, and with them I see and hear, and I am aware of all things in this world. But there are other things that exist in this world, and thank God, in another world of which I'm unaware, except that Christ came and told me about it. Now, what happens is this. If a man is possessed by these spirits, he doesn't know it, but he senses it. He can feel it. At times he feels uneasy. A person would feel the presence of something that is evil in the room. And the Lord Jesus explains what that is. Think of this. Do you realize that Satan was present when the Lord was in the upper room and when the Passover was taking place? It says that Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus. You say, that doesn't say he's there. When the Lord Jesus said to Judas, that which thou doest, do quickly. It says, Satan entered his heart, and he went out immediately, and it was night. So what God has done is this. Some of the evil spirits are in chains of darkness, and other evil spirits are free to roam in the world. And have I read you other passages, this is what you will find. That these evil spirits are delighted for you to think that they do not exist. But they know that you exist, and they know the work of God in your heart, and they are seeking to destroy the work of God in your heart, and they know that Jesus Christ came from heaven, and they know who he is, because when they saw him, they said, "We know who you are, thou Holy One of God," and they know their destiny, and they believe in hell, whether you do or not. Because the evil spirit said to the Lord Jesus, "Are you come to torment us before the time?" They said, "Do not send us into the pit." And so isn't it strange that all of you who do not believe in spirits are embarrassed to learn that Jesus believes in spirits, and that these spirits that you don't believe in, they believe in hell that you don't believe in. And all of you who believe that a God that is good and love, there is no such thing as torment, they say to the Lord Jesus, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" And so they know perfectly the future because they understand what it was to be in the presence of God, to be his ministers, and to be cast out of heaven and to become evil spirits. This is what God would have us to comprehend. The attendance just increased. The spirits would have you to believe just what modern theologians and intelligent men today would have you to believe, that they do not exist, that there is no life to come, that when you breathe your last, that is the end. Man is mortal, and death is the extinction of being. You exist no more. But the Bible contradicts all this, and it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And it has already been seen by John, the beloved apostle. He said, "I saw a throne high and lifted up, and before it was gathered, and all mankind is gathered before the Lord." And that's not in this life. This is in the life to come. So, congratulations. All of you who talk about Jesus, I wish you would reject him. As the Lord Jesus said, "Either be with me or against me. Either be hot or cold, do not be lukewarm." For all of those who pretend to use this book. But when talking about the wisdom of the Savior, I say Jesus is a fool. He's a fool if he says he believes in spirits and is talking to spirits and is casting out spirits and talks about having to bind the strongest of spirits, Satan. He's a fool if he believes in all of these things. And there are no spirits, and they do not exist. But he knows they do exist, and you are the fool. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." And the Sadducees, they were the wise ones in Christ's day. They do not believe in angel, and they do not believe in spirit. Yet their own Bible was full of the manifestations of spirits and angels coming to visit men. Even their ancestor, Abraham, why, he is the one who had the angels to come down and visit him while he was sitting in his tent door in the noontide of the day. He was sitting there, and these angelic beings came, and God came as well. Strange, isn't it, that there is so much embarrassment in your heritage that tells you the things that you have to believe in or else reject the Lord Jesus. But you can't reject the Lord Jesus because he's the only Savior. Are you going to Muhammad for a savior? Are you going to Buddha? Are you going to Confucius? Let him save you. They're all dead. They've perished. They can do nothing. And what I say is this. When Peter was given the opportunity with the disciples to leave the Lord, he said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And the one who has the words of eternal life is talking about a spiritual world. And in that spiritual world, there are beings that are holy, and they're beings that are unclean. And both of them are fighting with one another for the possession of your soul. You say, "Something is happening in me?" Yes. Now understand this, that there are certain times when miracles are in evidence, and there are times when they are not in evidence. And there are times and there are certain places in the world when these evil spirits are active and when they are there in profusion, and there are times when some places are devoid of spirits. But can you tell me where these spirits dwell and where they are not? I'm not able to tell you. You've heard of the Holy Land. So where is Jesus casting out spirits? You say, in the Holy Land. I see. Well, would they not feel quite at home then if they are in the Holy Land, in an unholy land like our great nation has become? Do you not understand that? So they're everywhere. I know this, that there are angelic beings here this morning. That's why women should be covered. It says, for this cause ought a woman to have authority on her head because of the angels. And the apostle Paul believed in these spirit beings because he said, we are made a spectacle unto angels, both in the world. And so he knew that angels were looking on. So there is a warfare going on for the souls of men, and there is a vying for the possession of your body by Satan and by the Holy Spirit of God. Think of that. Here is this man, and the Lord Jesus is illustrating a point here, and he illustrates it this way. He collectively looks at a generation, and he speaks of it as one man. At times he does it this way. He said, how shall I liken this generation? What are they like? He said, they're like unto children sitting in the marketplace. Now, here is a nation consisting of thousands and thousands of people. But the Lord Jesus pictures them as a few children sitting in the marketplaces playing with one another. And here the Lord Jesus pictures mankind, this particular generation, as a man who had at one time his body possessed by an unclean spirit, but for some reason, and we are not told here, that unclean spirit goes out of this man's body. And when he goes, this unclean spirit goes over waterless places seeking rest, and he doesn't find it. And so he says, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And he returns and he takes with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself. And it says, they enter in, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. Now, this is most important, because the Lord Jesus gives us the interpretation. He says, so shall it be with this evil generation. So here is a nation that is possessed by spirits. But in this chapter, the illustration is given by one man possessed with a spirit. And what brings it to our attention is this. Here is a man that is demon-possessed, and this possession causes the man to be blind and dumb. And the Lord Jesus exorcises that spirit, and the spirit is cast out. Therefore, here is a man's body, and it's like a house. Man's body is likened unto a house, like unto a building, like unto a temple, and here it's like unto a house. And when the Lord casts out these evil spirits, then the house is empty. So, the house being empty, another occupant is looking to move into that house. But the sad thing is this, that in this case, when the Lord Jesus cast out this spirit, he did not add the words that he did to that father's son when he cast out that spirit. He said, thou unclean spirit, come out of the man and enter no more into the man. Because the Savior speaks about a man that has a spirit that goes out of him, and for the length of time he is away, but he finds no rest outside this man, and so he comes back and enters into the man again, and he brings with himself seven spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the worst state, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. So what does it mean? It means that these spirits can possess a man individually, or they can possess a nation in numerous amounts. It's about myriads of angels God created myriads and myriads of beings, and all of them were holy at one time in His presence, worshiping Him, praising Him, doing His will. But what happened is that there was a rebellion in heaven, and these evil angels, these unclean ones, were cast out, and now they're in the earth. And as they would rise up against God and follow Satan, so now they're following Satan, and they're doing his will. That's what the Lord meant when he said, if Satan casts out Satan, then he is divided, and his kingdom cannot stand. So here is Satan. And notice, Satan is doing his work in the body of an individual man. And this is what God wants us to understand about unclean spirits and about the Holy Spirit. Notice the difference. When an unclean spirit is in a man, he has an adverse effect upon a man. He produces blindness and dumbness in this man. That is because he is an unclean spirit. His purpose in life is to destroy, to do all that he can to deter the advancement of the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit is he who does just the opposite. He overcomes these unclean spirits and casts them out and seeks to restore a man physically and spiritually. That is what God would have us to understand. But the sad thing is this, that God in his goodness at times does something for you physically in your body, but you do not beseech. And for that reason, God does not do something spiritually in your body. Therefore, a man can be in one of three conditions. He can be one who has unclean spirit in him. He can be one who has no spirit in him. Or he can be one who has the Holy Spirit in him. Do you see? And so I trust that all of you here this morning are those, if you are not children of God, that you are like a house that is empty. But, tell me, if you were looking for a house, and you found a house that was empty, and swept, and garnished, how attractive that house would be. And you would say, I want to go live in that house. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do with you. He wants to come and possess you, this house, now. That because perhaps of your upbringing or the grace of God in his goodness to this nation, he has these individual spirits away from you, and therefore your house is unoccupied. And because of your moral upbringing, it is swept, it's clean, it's garnished. But the sad thing is this, if a house is empty, a house is made to be occupied. And the Spirit of God wants to come and occupy your house. And Satan wants to occupy your house. They both want possession of this dwelling. And the sad thing is this. You don't realize it. You talk about my freedom. There are things that you do over which you have no power because there is satanic influence in your life. And there are things that you do, and there are things that you say, and there are things that you desire, evil thoughts in your heart. And they are not simply because you, by nature, are evil, but they are outside influences as well. And because of that, eventually it may be like Judas Iscariot. Please notice that at one time Judas Iscariot was an empty vessel. How do I know? Because it says that Satan is on the outside, and he puts into his heart to betray the Lord. But when Satan did not resist that temptation, and he wanted those 30 pieces of silver, because he would not resist that temptation, then he accepted the suggestion that Satan put in his heart. And then the next step was Satan entered into it, and then he was the slave of Satan, and he goes out and does his will. Now all of you had in your heart a warfare going on. I told you again and again, you must be born again. You must trust Christ as Savior. But when you do, Satan and all of his followers are telling you to neglect, deny, put it off. There is every reason you should not trust Christ as Savior. For that reason, Satan is seeking to destroy you, just as these unclean spirits are doing harm to every body in which they enter, and the Spirit of God is seeking to do away with those evil spirits and enter into you and do good for you. Satan will have you eternally destroyed with him in the lake of fire. And the Spirit of God is working within you to rescue you from that lake of fire. And Satan wants to come in and possess you, and the Spirit of God wants to come in and possess you. But the difference is this, that unless you willingly say yes, the Spirit of God does not have forced entry into the lives of men. Do you understand that? This is what Stephen said just before he was stoned. He was preaching to the nation of Israel. And he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as did your father, so also do you." And so the Spirit of God was working upon them to have them turn from their evil ways. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why would you perish, O house of Israel? And here is God's Spirit working within. But at the same time, if they say no, then God leaves them. When the Spirit of God is resisted, then the Spirit of God ceases working in the heart. That's why there is no such thing as irresistible grace. The Spirit of God can be resisted, and he is resisted. And when I trusted Christ as Savior, there were things up until a certain time that I resisted, because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And there were things that were attractive to the flesh. There was the world, the flesh, the devil, all of those things that were attracted to a young man away from home. And the Spirit of God sets before us the things that he can give you in Christ. And at the same time, Satan lets you know all that will have to go from your life if you do accept the overtures of the Spirit of God. And there are things that cause you to pause. But the Spirit of God simply tells you the love of Christ, the peace that passeth understanding, the heavenly home that is secure. He gives you hope in this life and in the life to come. And then he says, "Now will you trust Christ as Savior?" And if you say no, he does no more. But you will find that those who are possessed by unclean spirits, they come in and with violence, with force, possess a man, whether the man wants them or not. He can resist, but he is already inclined toward evil, and then if he gives the slightest indication of leaning more toward that evil, then the Spirit will come and possess him, and after that the man is doomed, unless God's Spirit comes and turns out of that man that evil spirit. Now, listen to the kinds of spirits they are. They're all unclean. They are all evil. But they produce different effects upon people. I'll simply give you a few so you can remember them. The one that Christ cast out produced blindness and dumbness. Notice the senses. The man is blind and he is dumb. At times, an unclean spirit produces deafness and dumbness. Now think, if a man is deaf and dumb and blind, then he cannot see, and God wants to show him Jesus Christ, but he can't see. And if he is deaf, he wants to tell him about Jesus, but he can't hear. And if he's dumb, God wants him to call upon the name of the Lord, but if he's dumb, he can't cry out. You say, "Well, if an unclean spirit makes a man deaf and dumb and blind, then, unless God miraculously intervenes, there is absolutely no way for that man to become a child of God." That's exactly why these unclean spirits possess a man and work on his senses. Why? Because he can't read the Word of God. He can't pray to God. He can't hear. He is oblivious to what's going on about him. And he simply does what that unclean spirit within him would have him to do. And that is exactly what Satan is seeking to do, not only to you as an individual, but to nations as well. Here is what I must tell you about. You'll find in the Old Testament a false prophet named Zedekiah and a prophet of God named Micaiah. And these two prophets are brought before Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And They say, what should we do now? We have an enemy. What should we do? And so the false prophets say, go and fight against the enemy and you shall be victorious. But thank God for this. Jehoshaphat was descended from a good father. Rehoboam, Abijam, Asa, Jehoshaphat. Asa was his father, and he was a good king. And Jehoshaphat knew better, but he was associating himself with an evil king. And when all the false prophets came and told them what to do and guaranteed them victory, Jehoshaphat said, don't you have one more prophet? He said, one more prophet? Look at all the ones we have. He said, bring on one more. He said, well, I have one more. His name is Micaiah. He said, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good unto me. He said, let's hear from that man. And when Micaiah comes, he with scorn says, oh yes, go out to battle. You will be victorious. And the king knows that he has put him on. And he says, I told you not to lie to me. And he said, all right, he said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He said, you're going to be destroyed. He said, this is what I saw. He said, I saw the host of heaven before God, who was sitting on a throne. And God said, how shall we go about destroying King Ahab? And there was this suggestion and that suggestion. And finally, one spirit said, let me go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And God said, go. And this is when Micaiah turns to these false prophets. And he says, you are that lying spirit, and you've lied to Ahab, and there's going to be destruction. And Zedekiah, the false prophet, came and struck him on the mouth and said, tell us which way the Spirit of God came now. And the king said, put this man in irons, and when I come back in peace, I will deal with him. And Micaiah said, if you come back at all in peace, I am not a prophet of the Lord. And he went out to battle, and he did not come back because he was slain by an arrow that was shot by a man peradventure, and it struck him and put him to death. Now, notice, and this is most important. Here is a man with all his soldiers, and God is going to destroy that man. Because if you resist the Spirit of God, then God allows evil spirits to work on you. Understand that. God is not one who says, don't you do and touch that man. Stay away from that man. If you will not have the Spirit of God, then God steps back and lets you listen to Satan. And if you listen to Satan, then what happens is the same thing that happened to Ahab and his army. The false prophets come and listen to all of these liars that are telling you that you can get to heaven by doing the best you can. Join the church. Be baptized. Be good. God is love. There is no such thing as hell. There are lying spirits sent forth from hell to destroy your soul. And yet men are listening to it. And one comes and tries to tell you the truth. And you say, ah, this man is insane. This man is a religious fanatic. Tell me, when one is sent from heaven named Jesus Christ the Lord, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is he a religious fanatic? He tells you that unless you believe that he is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, you shall die in your sins. And all the false lying prophets will say, no, no, it's not true. And I tell you that there are evil spirits, and they are influencing men, and they want to influence this nation. And the sad thing is this, that in the coming day, as Israel was influenced as a nation, because said, so shall it be to this generation, that is, the generation of the Jews living at that time. Here was Israel for so many years. They were into idolatry, into sin. They were rebelling against God. The whole northern 10 tribes were given over to idolatry. And then the southern tribes as well had their own false gods, so they tried to carry on somewhat in the tradition of truth. All of this happened, but after the captivity, I told you about that, after all of these 70 years of captivity, Israel was through with idols, no more. And so what happened? Here is Israel that previously had been possessed by this unclean spirit, but because of the judgment of God, that unclean spirit, and in this instance, it promoted idolatry. This unclean spirit went out, and for all of these years, Israel as a nation is empty and swept and garnished. But now when God's Son comes upon the earth, you'll find that the evil spirit comes back and it wants to take over the nation of Israel again. And that evil spirit was successful. And when the Son of God pronounced himself to be the Son of the Highest, they said, he's worthy of death. And they cried, crucify him, crucify him. And so what happened? This one evil spirit that was in the man, that would have them to worship idols, now he brings seven others more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and they cry for the death of the Prince of Life, the Son of God, and they bring to themselves utter destruction. It's happened in the past with Christ, and it's going to happen in the future. And you may read about it in Revelation 16, when three unclean spirits come forth from the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, and they go and they gather the nations together to Armageddon, the great battle of God. Why? Because they would not have God in their minds and in their thinkings. And because of that, God leaves them to themselves, and he allows this strong delusion to come. Now, I hope this morning that there is a detail on the apartment at the back. It has a sign, and it says, apartment occupied. I'm there. You can't come in. I hope, though, that in your case, if you're not saved, your body is empty and swept and garnished. And it's just the kind of body that the Spirit of God wants to enter and dwell there. And it says in Romans 8, the Spirit of God that dwelleth in you. It says, God hath shed abroad his love by the Holy Spirit poured out from heaven. Shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And it says in Romans 8, the Spirit of God that dwelleth in you. And so the Holy Spirit of God wants to come in you and drive out all of those evil tendencies from you and cause you to cease to be deaf and dumb and blind. And then you can see the beauties of Jesus Christ, and you can hear the truth of the Word of God, and you can speak praises to God, and he will put a new song in your mouth. And so you say that you are empty, swept, and garnished. Well then, that means you're going to hell. Because an empty house is not the kind that the Spirit of God occupies unless he's invited in. But if you say, come, then he will come. And so, this day, be occupied by clean spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that Christ be your Savior. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that as little children, we would believe the words of thy Son, and with the intelligence thou hast given us, we understand that there are influences upon men that are more than physical, and thy Son has explained these unseen influences upon men. Let us know how good you've been to our nation in the past. We pray, our God, that our nation shall not become demon-possessed, shall bring in seven spirits more evil than the one that does attack us now, but that our nation shall turn to God, and as a nation and as individuals, thy Spirit shall come and dwell in us and shall prevail. So let us understand that the Lord Jesus is Lord of Spirit, and he can evict those that are in us, and having evicted them, he can come and dwell in us forever. And so may the Father, Son, and Spirit be the one who enters our lives, possesses us, dwells there, and influences us for good, for time and for eternity. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.